of mine, Leona McLeod, who was back on the campus from her vacation retreat in California, and I'm delighted to have her put some of her experiences in the field of what was then home economics, we've now changed to human ecology. Let me ask you first, she retired a few years ago, and I was surprised to know that she was back on the campus. She is back on the campus because she wanted to attend the 50th reunion of our graduating class from Michigan State University, and this is hard to credit when you look at her and you wouldn't think she'd ever been out of college for 50 years. However, will you tell us a little bit about your early experiences at Michigan State, if you want to, as a student, and tell me when you came back to the campus and the jobs you had subsequently, if you would, please.
Well, I have to say first that when I came here in 1920, to do the as a student, home economics was the only major that was open to women at that time. So you either took home economics or you didn't come. But while I was here, they did add the applied science course for women as well as men. But I was not a scientist and never have been. At any rate, there are a lot of memories that. Come back when you're here for a 50th reunion, which I was last weekend. Some of them, the fact that our class was famous for starting the water carnival, and it was when the Union Building was started with our class, and they tore down the house that was home management that where I had lived as a student in my senior year. To build the Union and things of this sort that I remember, and it makes me feel older than I look, perhaps, but I can tell you it's been most interesting and fun to see that. But then after I finished hoping to teach, I didn't like teaching, and so I went on to graduate school and went into retailing, and I was a buyer in one of the Detroit stores until I was married. And during the Depression, I had a three-year-old daughter to support and went back to work. And the store where I worked a few years before at $125 a week offered me $25, and I didn't think I could take care of a child on that kind of a salary. So I looked further, and fortunately, Miss Dye came to my rescue, and
she was then the dean.
She was the dean of home economics. That's right. And Edna V. Smith was a state leader, and they found a place for me over in the Detroit area, which was a nice place to be a home demonstration agent. And that's how I started in extension work at Michigan State, never having heard of it until I started
really?
To work for it. But it was fun. And I stayed in extension then until, well, when Jean was in high school, I switched to resident teaching.
And
that was here at Michigan State. And I had a lot of fun working with the girls in the retailing major. And it was at that time, incidentally, that we helped the retailing group to grow and expand so that we even outnumbered the teaching majors. We thought this was pretty good but we were had lots of jobs for them because I knew people in the retailing field, and we expanded our work store program, and the girls were able to go for their Christmas season to stores in Indianapolis, Ellis Airs, and of course Hudson's. They had been going there. There were a lot of people that, the girls that thoroughly enjoyed it when I thought they would saturate the market, but they didn't. They had as much fun as I did, I think, working with it. It was a great time. But then I went back into extension after Jean was in college. When I went in as state leader, and that was almost forced upon me. I didn't want it at
all.
Tell
us about how that happened.
Well, the state leader was leaving, and they interviewed some others, but I guess they felt that it would be best to have somebody that knew the ropes, because they felt that it should be somebody within the organization. And I just had it. I was just told that I was it.
What year was that?
That was in 1950. And then that was it opened up a whole period of change. We made a good deal of progress. That was when we added a good many people to the staff of Extension. And then there were several programs that started then. One was the marketing program, and the other was when we started television. Do you remember those days?
I remember. I certainly do. I was the first one to put his foot into this.
Yes, and they put it in the lab of Extension because we've been doing so much radio. And I can well remember when we used to even have to go down to Detroit to do those programs down there. And
is it WWJ?
WWJ. But the rehearsals, that dress rehearsals practically, and you had to write out a script. Oh, that was awful. It was an ordeal.
Well, you learned a lot from it.
Yes, we did. And it has made me much more critical of many of the programs, the how-to programs that are done now, because you can appreciate what goes back of the preparation.
You mentioned to me that we lost some people because they just rebelled against using radio or television.
This is right. I remember one very fine instructor, professor, who left because she just couldn't make herself do the preparation either radio or television. She just refused to do it, and that was a policy. It was a requirement of the par for the course. You just had to do it. And so
I think I know who you meant, because I had a couple of clashes with her in the days when I was responsible for the radio and television program on campus.
I think Mary Colopy helped us in that program as much as anybody. She made it so easy for us to conduct an interview. You didn't have to write out a script, and it didn't sound as forced and stilted as it always had before that.
Yes.
She was a very capable person.
She was indeed. Let's go back a bit and tell me again about your marketing program. You were explaining, said to me earlier, how Woody Varner, the famous Woody Varner, succeeded in getting, striking the first blow for women's lib, you said, in your area at least.
He certainly deserves a great deal of credit. In fact, all the credit for getting the appropriation from the legislature.
He was then our liaison man.
Yes, this is right. And he was able to get a sum of money appropriated, but in the way in which it was done was what seemed to me is a good example of early women's lib on campus, because they stated that half of the money was to be used for women to do a consumer program, and the other half was in marketing, in which agriculture would give the women the information as to what would be the best buys. For instance, when there was a good supply, a good crop of apples, they would tell us that they were in good supply, and then the home economist would go on and tell them how to preserve and what to do with the apples with it. And the same was true with all types of agricultural
products. It's still
products.
Being done.
This is true.
Widely,
but,
yes.
But Michigan, really, there were other states. Massachusetts was doing a similar program, but in no way as large a program or as expanded a program as we had here.
I think many of the people in Detroit, in the Wayne County area, know the Extension Service largely through those columns of the paper of the representatives down there, the agents down there, telling these food buys, what are the best buys and how to use them and so on. So it's a good reputation for the institution.
We had two people doing the home economics program in Detroit for quite a while. I'm not sure what they have now, but
I don't
whether
know,
it's as big a program as that. But
it probably is, because consumer interest has developed so widely that it's very
I think on the national scale, if they could take some pointers, because I think that there are some people that have been doing this kind of work very successfully for a long time.
Yes.
And as you mentioned, I'm in California, and even though one of our marketing people is heading up the program in home economics out there, she doesn't get the time, she doesn't get the recognition, and I find it extremely difficult to get any information that I want out there. It's in no way as comparable to the program that we have here.
Well, who's responsible for this? You? In Michigan?
Well,
you must have had some support.
I had. Woody just gave me all kinds of support, and then to have a budget in which this was the time when we brought Marion Kelly in to head up the home economics, and she'd been doing a program down in Louisville that was similar, but of course on a smaller scale, and we put it in, and then we started these centers, you see, out through the state, even one in the Upper Peninsula, and where there was opportunity both for radio and later television, but it was mostly radio out through the state.
Didn't have television those
no,
early days.
We didn't do.
We were united.
They certainly disliked it. But those were two programs that were really popular and well developed, and I thoroughly enjoyed them.
You should be proud of yourself what you did.
Well, I didn't initiate. I just was able to find people who could do the work.
Well,
you know, and that's all that's necessary.
This is a mark of a good administrator. Not do it yourself, but find other people who can.
And then give them the credit for doing it.
Yes,
to
indeed.
Me is the secret of success of any program. If you can get people who have the ability, but then let them have the credit for the work that they do, and not take it all yourself.
Were you? Was Mr. Ballard then?
Yes. When I first changed to Extension, he was a state leader. He was the director of Extension.
Director of Extension. He was a fine man.
Yes, he really was. He was.
Of course, I loved almost like so many other people did.
Well, like all of us. We were very fond of.
And Dean Anthony was the dean?
Yes.
When you started?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We felt that he was almost our father confessor, because
we
could go to him with anything in the way of a problem. And
so I'm saying you did have support in the things you were trying to do.
Oh, all kinds of support.
Clint, then later later Woody,
yes,
and
this is right.
The deans, all this work.
Oh,
and
yes,
Dean
Dye was.
Dye was
of course, she had come here when I was a student, and I always felt that Miss Dye really made our College of Home Economics here at Michigan State, and I'm very, very fond of her and feel that she did more for me than any other person in my professional career.
Yes. Well, you see, that's why I'm interested in getting on the record, is the proper recognition for the history, the historian who writes the next history of Michigan State. We'll hear from some of the people who participated how much and the weight of the contribution made by the early people, not how far Michigan State has come since those early days, developed as a respectable institution with prestige. The people like Dean Dye and Dean Anthony, and Clint Ballard, Woody in a more recent day, you yourself, you see, that's the reason I want you to talk about these things that are going on.
I just went along and I always said that when I first started in Extension, Miss Edna V. Smith, she was a very quiet, unassuming, and many people didn't give her credit for the things that, but she had the ability to pick a person for a particular job and then made them feel that they could do the impossible. And so could Woody Varner. There are two people who had the ability to make you feel that you could do anything, and you knew you couldn't, but you did it.
Well,
just because they expected you to do it. And I think those two people were unusually fine and quite unassuming in that particular capacity, but they really did, and I've never had anyone who challenged me to work my head off as Woody Varner does, and I liked it in the doing.
Oh, sure.
Of it.
Most of us do.
You enjoyed it when, yeah, this is right.
But you would agree there was a spirit of can-do at Michigan State at that time, wasn't there?
Oh,
throughout
yes,
the
thing. Yes, yes.
Under President Hanna and
yes,
and the board of trustees at that time. It was everybody working together towards a great common goal, and we all enjoyed working.
And they supported us all the way down the line, from the board of trustees, all the way. You felt that they were interested in your success and therefore would support it to the best of their ability.
Surely.
And then give you credit for it when you did it.
Yes. That's part of the secret of, as I say, of good administration. Well, subsequently, after you left here, when did you...
I left here in January of 59.
That's right.
I just got my 25 years in, yes. So I took off for...
Well, then you had a very interesting experience, mm-hmm. which is following Mr. Hanna's subsequent area of major interest, which is education international field. You went to Korea. Tell us a little about that.
Yes, I went over on the foreign aid program to be home economist in Korea, and really to establish an extension program in Korea. And I was quite surprised to find that there were as many well-trained home economists in Korea as there were. They had three colleges of home economics that were pretty good, and with people who had been trained and had advanced degrees in the States,
yeah.
So that it was amazing. But they none of it had filtered out to the rural countryside, and of course this is typical of all.
Well, it seems to me you would agree that this is really the big American contribution, leading, encouraging people to extend their knowledge to the consumer, really, out in the field.
Oh, yes, yes, this is a great contribution. This was right.
And well, aside from the fact that much of the early training with some of these people was done in the United States.
Oh, yes.
So America
has made some decent contributions
to the world.
We did it two ways, and as we trained, and of course we brought some of their people over here for what we call a participant program, for a short-term training program. But it took us time to adjust to their economy and to their limitations. And having been a clothing specialist in my early days, it was a far cry to go and teach home management when you had dirt floors and that kind of fuel.
You adjusted too.
Yes, I had to do a lot of adjusting, and in many ways, physically as well as mentally, because in extension, of course, I spent a good deal of my time out in the provinces, and you stay at Korean hotels, you know, when you do that, and sleeping on the floor with a little pad and a sheet that's sewed on for the winter, you know, and all that sort of thing. So there are many, but even though I was retirement age, of fairly early age, but anyway, my maturity was perhaps one of my best assets in that culture.
Yes.
They respect, and then they respected the job that I had, the position, the title that I'd had at Michigan State. Now there was another person who had been there for a short time preceding my tour, and well, in the first place, I think it was hard for her to appreciate the culture of the Koreans, and after all, they could read and write a long time before we could, you know, and this is the thing that I think we tend to forget when we work in underdeveloped skills. They don't have the skills, but they have the culture.
Yes.
And to me, the respect that is due to them is something we ought never to overlook.
Very good point. How long were you on that camp?
I was there 4.5 years. It was a long time, but I went back thinking that, well, it took me 2 years to get a person appointed into the position that would be comparable to a national leader. And then you had to go back and train her. So it's a 2-year tour of duty, but they kind of got me back under false pretenses, I think.
Do you hear of those people still?
Oh, yes, they visited me.
Is the program still developing?
Oh, yes, it is developed pretty well. There are changes, but they still have what we think of as home agents out in the provinces and the goons. A goon is a county in the Korea.
How do you spell that for the record?
G-U-N. G-U-N instead of, it sounds like G-O-O-N, but it is it's G-U-N. Of course, they have a different alphabet as well as.
Did you learn a little Korean?
I learned
Japanese.
It's Korean.
Is it related to Japanese?
Well, it's more nearly related to Chinese.
Chinese.
Culture went from China to Korea to Japan. And they're very proud of this. And even though they were occupied by Japan for a number of years before the Korean War, still, Japan did a lot for Korea, but they didn't absorb their culture. Korea maintains their own and their own alphabet. It's more closely related, however, to China than it is to the numbers, the time. You tell time in Chinese.
And it's still progressing. You think we left a permanent memorial?
It's amazing the progress. It seems to me that if some of the people who are critical of the foreign aid program could go to Taiwan and to Korea before and see a before and after picture, they would feel that a good deal of their money was very well spent.
I suppose this is true of the Ryukyu too.
Yes, of course, we started that program when I was state leader. So Elner Densmore, who is out in Santa Barbara with me, who was the first home agent there.
Is that right?
Yes. And she was the first one to go to start the at the University of Ryukyu. And we visited there. I have been there since. And it, too, has made real progress, and you can be proud. But, of course, it's a much smaller scale than these other countries.
It was a good model place to start in a small area.
Yeah, they did it as a university. The other two countries have done it as a government project rather than a military army project. And there has been a good deal of difference between the programs. But I can't say enough for the program and Michigan State has had considerable to do with the program in Taiwan too, and those two programs have done. Now the Philippines started early and has gone, we had many gone a little bit farther, but I really don't think that it has progressed as spectacularly as the one in Taiwan and Korea. And Korea just has, I didn't think they'd ever be able to be self-supporting, but it's amazing. They're exporting things now, let alone being self-supporting. When Korea was divided, you see, North Korea was the industrial part, and South Korea was the agricultural, and we didn't think when I was there, and I was there at the time of Syngman Rhee's first downfall and through all of those various stages.
Who was first downfall?
Syngman Rhee.
Oh, Syngman Rhee, yes.
Yes, and Lee Ki-poon, who was the, well, I guess I better not get into American politics, anyway, I went through all that period, which was a very critical period in Korean, and I wouldn't have believed that they could develop to the point where they now are, with roads and industry and it's amazing.
And the hope of reunification.
Yes, I think because there wasn't a single family that I could contact that didn't have someone in North Korea. And of course it was the educated, the well-trained people, professional people that were kept to North Korea.
Yes.
So the family division, it was tragic. It was
Well, you can see all this happening again in South Vietnam. The South Vietnam was the agricultural area. The North was the industrial.
It's
the
a
Yankees
repetition.
Of the.
This is right. I think one, perhaps, a drawback to the Vietnam situation is that they weren't as well educated as the Koreans. Now, I'm not sure that the figures are accurate because it's just what I was told. But in Korea, they felt, even when I was there, that they were, they said 85% literate. Well, this is a little, I think it may be exaggerated. However, in their own language, they could read and write. And this is an important factor in the development of any country. And then they had radios, but they could read and write, and you can't vote if you can't read and write.
No.
And this is why we think that they've been able to make the progress that they have.
Very
but we could do bulletins, for instance, in extension in their language, the same as we do here in the States, with information that both in the 4-H club level and the youth level, we all of these things that were, it was amazing. You know, what
must have been a very happy experience for you.
It was a most interesting and satisfying. Yes, I think this is true. And they're such a responsive group of people. I think they're perhaps more friendly than any of the other Orientals, the Koreans. And then they're musical, and that, of course, was another tie as far as I was concerned. So we used to have lots of fun when we'd be.
Under whose auspices did you go? Not Michigan State.
Secretary of State.
Yeah.
I went to it. It was the regular AID program.
Because Mr. Hanna wasn't there at that time.
No. He wasn't. He was here. And it was when we did have our program in Nigeria, and I think he was thinking that maybe I was a little bit disloyal to Michigan State, but I couldn't work, I don't believe, in Africa as easily as I could work with either the Arabs or the Orientals. I guess it's some kind of a cultural gap that I couldn't breach as well.
Why the Arab? Where did you have experience with the Arabs?
Well, I haven't worked with them as much. I did, before I went to Korea, I had to make a decision. The State University of New York had a contract with Israel and they tried real hard to get me to take that one, and it was one that I would have enjoyed because it was both extension and a resident at Tel Aviv at the university. But I felt I needed the backing of the state office, United States AID program, with their Washington staff that I needed very badly. Now, I did have to write back to Michigan State for some help too, as you would know, because there are many things that problems that I wasn't able to resolve, especially in nutrition, and that was one of the major ones there. Of course, we did nutrition.
This is in Korea now you're talking.
In Korea, yes. This was the reason that I preferred to go to Korea with the State Department on the foreign aid program rather than to Israel, although I would have enjoyed going to that experience. It would have been a real challenge to work. They're very intelligent.
What are you doing to keep busy these days now that you're still so active mentally physically?
I'm considering having to take another job, a paying job, so I can get a vacation.
Really?
Because I'm so busy, I don't know what to do.
Are you like other retirees? They never know now how they ever had time to work for a living?
I really don't. It's just wonderful. There's so much. And of course, I'm in a place where it's, Santa Barbara's a very nice sized community. And I've made a lot of close friends. I've been on the board. We have a large women's club that is has programs like we had professional programs every week, and a beautiful clubhouse, and they let me decorate that, and I've gone through this. It's a beautiful Spanish village.
They've accepted you in California.
They've accepted me and as one of them, and I just have made lots of friends and enjoy them very, very much. And it's a whole new life, and to me that's important.
Still stimulating.
It really is.
When you retired, you didn't quit.
No, I'm having a wonderful time. It's so wonderful to wake up Monday morning and think that you don't have to do one single thing all week that you don't want to do, you know. That's my idea of retirement.
Mine too. I'm retired also, technically.
Yeah.
But I'm still plugging along at this and many other things.
Well, it's really fun, and there are many cultural advantages there too.
Oh, yes.
We have both the Los Angeles Symphony and the Santa Barbara Symphony, and of course the university. I've made friends through the affiliate group out there, and I'm familiar with that.
So what group?
Affiliates.
Oh, affiliate group. Yes.
Yeah, the affiliates of the university. That's fine.
That's great. Well, I'm delighted you were here. Hope it wasn't as painful as you anticipated. This is what I wanted to get on the record. I'm very grateful to you and glad to see you again.
I said offhand that I was afraid you were going to spoil my vacation if I made him go
For the benefit of who tries this again, will you make a statement that isn't so painful?
It really isn't painful at all. It's almost like going back to where you left off.
Well, I appreciate it very much.
It's very
fine. Good luck to you in the future.